9-year-old Jeremy's mother asked the boy what he had learned at Sunday school that day. "Well, Mom, our teacher told us how God sent Moses behind enemy lines on a rescue mission to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. When he got to the Red Sea, he and his engineers built a pontoon bridge, and all the people walked across safely. Then Moses used his walkie-talkie to radio headquarters and call in an airstrike. They sent in bombers to blow up the bridge, and all the Israelites were saved." "Now, Jeremy, is that really what your teacher taught you?" his mother asked. "Well, no, Mom, but if I told it the way the teacher did, you'd never believe it." Well, in today's gospel, we have the disciples finding it very hard to believe Jesus' teaching about the bread of life. We're still in John chapter 6, where on 6 occasions, Jesus again and again says, "I am the bread of life come down from heaven. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have eternal life. My flesh is true food and my blood is true drink." And so Jesus again and again repeated and reaffirmed that he is the bread of life, that he is truly present in the Eucharist. And we've seen this over the last couple weeks, how Jesus again says it time and time again. And it says, many of Jesus' disciples said, "This is a hard saying. Who can accept it?" And notice, Jesus says, he heard the people murmuring, his disciples were murmuring about this. And he says, "Does this shock you?" Another word for that is, "Does this scandalize you? Does this put a stumbling block in your way? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascend, you know, to where he was before?" And Jesus again repeated that he is the bread of life. But then it says something interesting. Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. Here is the first prediction of Judas's betrayal. And Bishop Sheen once said about this that this was the crack in Judas's priesthood. He could not accept this teaching on the Eucharist. He could not accept that Jesus is the bread of life. And it says that this is the moment where it was revealed that Judas was a betrayer. And this, of course, gospel, I think, ties in very well with the crisis that we're going through now in the church, especially with the Cardinal McCarrick revelations and the grand jury revelations of Pennsylvania and those dioceses. So this weekend, Father Barquette and Father Ruskamp and I are all going to be talking about that in the context of this, because even among Christ's 12 apostles, there was a Judas. And these were the handpicked men that Christ himself chose. And unfortunately, one out of 12 was a betrayer. And in fact, St. Peter denied the Lord as well. The church is made up of good and holy people, and also sinful and even some evil people, as we've read in recent accounts, that even among the clergy, there are the Judases that betray the church and betray their faith and also betray the innocent and the young. And so in today's Arlington Herald, the issue that came out, also in today's bulletin, you'll have the letter from Bishop Burbage. Let me share with you what he wrote, because we're so blessed to have such a wonderful, good and holy bishop, and he's addressing these situations, and I think that he wrote this so beautifully, so let me share with you what he wrote, and then also make some comments upon that as well. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our Holy Father, Pope Francis, recently reminded us of the words of the Apostle Paul, 'If one member suffers, all suffer together with it.' With you, I share the suffering of victims of sexual abuse on the part of the clergy, and the suffering of all who have lost trust and confidence in the leaders of the church." So by the way, make sure you read Pope Francis's letter, which is also online and in the Arlington Herald. Pope Francis wrote an excellent letter about this crisis and the need for purification and zero tolerance and transparency and healing of victims. Again, it's an excellent letter. There are excerpts from it in the Herald, but it's online. It's in entirety. I read it this past week. I encourage you to read it as well. Upon hearing credible and substantiated allegations of sexual abuse on the part of Archbishop Theodore McCarrick and the horrific accounts of the Pennsylvania grand jury report, including the failure of church leaders to protect children, teenagers, and young adults from abuse, I, like you, felt tremendous anger and shame that such crimes occurred within our church. So we should feel angry, we should feel shame, this righteous indignation of those innocents that have been abused. And we do pray for their healing, we pray for the cleansing of the church and the purification of the church. Going back to the bishop, he says, I have had several opportunities to speak about these issues in recent days through statements, homilies, a letter to priests, and podcasts. These are all available on the diocesan website. And I would recommend that you go to the diocesan website and listen to the podcasts that our bishop has had. They are excellent, I think very helpful in this difficult time for the church. He goes on to say, in each instance, I knew full well that words cannot sufficiently express my regret for the sins of church leaders and priests who betrayed Christ and his people. No matter how insufficient words may be, however, I again convey my sincere apologies to victims of abuse and reassure them, as well as the rest, moving on to page 17, of the Catholic faithful of this diocese, of my desire to support you in every way possible. Additionally, I assure you that no priest credibly accused of child sexual abuse is or ever will be in active ministry in our diocese. I was ordained a bishop, he says, in 2002, the same year the Charter for the Protection of Children and Young People was enacted to establish standards for reporting and investigating accusations, as well as to help victims heal from the trauma they experience. As such, I have always implemented these procedures throughout my ministry as a bishop. Once again, I wish to assure you that in our diocese, immediately upon receiving an accusation of abuse, we report it to law enforcement. In addition, all evidence about each allegation is assessed by our diocesan review board, composed of a majority of laymen and women who have expertise in areas that will assist with the process. Policies are essential, and they must continue to be implemented and followed. The crisis, however, is not only about policies, it is about evil, the moral failings of priests, and at times a lack of courage and integrity in the part of bishops and other church leaders. Priests and bishops should not need policies to keep from committing immoral acts or to report heinous crimes to the authorities. We should need only a well-formed conscience, a commitment to Jesus Christ, and fidelity to the promises of our vocation. With the Lord's grace, we must strive to root out evil and work tirelessly to protect all young people as a matter of respect for their precious dignity as beloved children of God. When witnessing such failures, many will naturally question their confidence and trust in the church. Please always remember that Christ is head of the church and that he never fails us. While the Lord in his divinity works through his bishops and priests, at times they in their humanity fail to protect the flock, even in the most disturbing ways. Please join me in praying for our priests, as in this troubling time they greatly appreciate the support you have shown. I pray that together with we will renew our faith in Christ, who promises to be with us through periods of darkness and uncertainty. We will call upon his divine mercy and saving help as we seek healing, purification, and transformation. May our Lord guide and protect his church, his people, now and always, sincerely in Christ. Bishop Michael Burbage. It's such a, I think it's a very well-written letter showing our righteous anger towards what has been committed against the innocent and the intention of the desire of the church to be able to always protect the innocent. So when we look at, you know, what the bishop has said and how we're dealing with this scandalous situation within the church, we of course do what Pope Francis has said. We pray and do penance, prayer and fasting, to purify and cleanse the church. And as the bishop mentioned, since 2002, since the Charter for the Protection of Children came out, any priest that was ever accused of anything has been removed from office way back in 2002, and that the protocols have been put into place to protect young people through our diocesan Virtus program, through background checks. Every priest, deacon, teacher, youth minister, volunteer, catechist has gone through background checks, fingerprints, and training to make sure that the young people are protected in our diocese. And so we see the horror of what has happened over the years through these criminal actions, through these mortal sins. And as Archbishop DiNardo said, sin destroys lives. What a terrible thing we have seen of sin destroying lives. And so we pray for the purification and the cleansing of the church. So yes, even among the 12 apostles, you had a Judas. And the thing, though, we should remember is that as the gospel continued, it says many of his disciples left Jesus and returned to their former way of life. So we do hope and pray that people will not leave the church. We certainly understand their pain, their anger, and their sorrow, but we should never leave Jesus because of Judas. We should never leave Jesus because of the Judases that have harmed others. And even the 12 apostles, it says, even though the Lord lost so many of his followers, then Jesus turned to the 12 and he said to them, "Do you want to leave as well?" And Simon Peter spoke up and says, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." So we still have the church, we still have the Eucharist, we have Jesus in the Most Blessed Sacrament, we have the seven sacraments. So I know that many people are upset, and we should be, about this crisis, but Jesus Christ is truly present in the Most Blessed Sacrament. Again, we should never give up Jesus because of some of the sinful members of the church, even of the clergy or the hierarchy. To whom shall we go? Master, you have the words of eternal life. Jesus is the Son of God. We have him truly in the church, in the Most Blessed Sacrament. Even though the church is both saints and sinners, we have Christ, and we need to focus on Christ and not leave the church because of these terrible scandals. We pray and do prayer and penance for the cleansing of the church. And as Pope Francis has said, there is a zero tolerance for this. And we believe that in the last number of years, the church has put into place these procedures and protocols to protect the young, to protect the innocent, and also to heal the victims of this abuse. Tomorrow, Bishop Laverde is saying Mass at the Cathedral at 9:30 for this intention, for the healing of those who have been abused. So let's join the bishop in prayer and penance as we pray for the cleansing and the purification of the church.